We've been going through a series called At the Master's Feet. We're talking about some of the parables of Jesus, and it's a reminder that it's Jesus that's talking. So if Jesus is talking, I think maybe like E.F. Hutton, we should be listening to what he has to say. Amen? How many of you have ever struggled with that deep philosophical understanding? Who am I? What am I doing here? What's my purpose? What's my meaning? Where should I be going in life, and how do I find the direction in life? Anybody ever asked those questions before? Okay, I think everybody has asked those questions before. How many of you remember the Peanuts cartoon? All right, yeah, Charles Schulz, and he, just incredible, the things that he would get across in the form of a cartoon, but really some deep understandings of life. And one day, Charlie Brown was just kind of down. He was forlorn. He'd been thinking about the deep questions of life, and he was just really coming up with a struggle. And many of you will remember Lucy, and she was the psychiatrist of the gang. And so everybody would come, and I think it said 5 cents, right? Is that right? 5 cents. Wow. Man, what a bargain, huh, for today. I think it cost a little bit more than that. But you also get what you pay for, so I don't know whether she was the best one to ask or not, but he was just really just beside himself, and he was really down and needed some kind of direction in his life. He really needed help and life's meaning and purpose. He needed to help get him on the right path and direction in life, and so he came to see Lucy, and she said, well, what's wrong, Charlie Brown? He said, well, I just really feel lost, and I need a direction in life, and I really don't know where to turn or how to go. And then she began to philosophize. Is that a word? Philosophize? pontificate? How about that? You know, she began to share with him and say, you know, now, Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair on an ocean liner. Now, some people will get on an ocean liner and they'll get their deck chair and they'll go to the rear of the boat and they enjoy looking back over life and seeing where they've been. Then there's other people who take their chairs and they go up to the front of the boat so they can look forward to life and they can see what's coming and be excited about it. And she said, so really, Charlie Brown, life is all about where you place your deck chair. How does that sound? And he says, well, you know what? Honestly, Lucy, I don't know because I don't think I've ever been able to get my deck chair open. You know, and a lot of us just kind of feel that way, you know. There's some people going this way, some people going this way, and I'm stuck, and I can't even get my chair open. Or if we do, it collapses on us. Anybody ever been in a chair that collapsed on you before? Yeah. If you've ever been to the beach, you've been to a chair that collapsed on you at some point. But with these, it's this understanding, this deep philosophical question inside of us. Who are we? Where do we come from? Where are we going? And so we have these big questions that are before us. And as we prepare to take a look at our passage for this evening, these parables, remember from last week, we talked about how many spoonfuls from the Thai chili I put on there. And, you know, it's a short story, but man, does it pack a punch. And so I want you to hear about this. And so Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, and he's preparing them that he's going to be going away. But he's also preparing them what God wants for them to be the kind of people. And this one is entitled The Parable of the Persistent Widow. It's found in Luke chapter 18. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. And then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice." It's kind of the squeaky wheel mentality. She's squeaking and he's in pain, so he's just like, all right. So that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said to her, listen what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring... Did I skip them? And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen? All right. So he's telling about persistence and about faith, and then he gets into this unjust judge. And one of the things we have to be careful about when we get into parables is we want to try to dissect them. And one of the things that people have trouble doing is they say, well, unjust judge, but God's our judge, so is God the unjust judge? And it's like, no, he's not being compared to the unjust judge. He's being contrasted, saying, if even the unjust judge will bring justice eventually just because of the persistence, how much more would our Heavenly Father give you what you need, bring justice to you? So let's take a look at some of our outline this evening and what we can learn. If you'd like to, turn to that page. There's an insert in your bulletin, and you can fill out the blanks as we go along. So the parable of the persistent widow teaches us God is concerned with, number one, justice for all persons. Justice for all persons. If God is the Father of all, if God is the Creator of all, and God loves all, then certainly God is the God of justice, and he really cares about justice for all. Now, what's really interesting about this parable is you almost have to go back into the context and to see the characters that Jesus made up along the way here. You have this unjust judge, and it describes this unjust judge that he doesn't care. Basically, he's not caring about bringing justice to people. He cares about lining his pockets, and so he only wants to, he'll keep court cases going for a while so he can keep getting paid, or the cases were sometimes settled by who brought the most money in. So what do you think about a widow? A widow who, remember back in this day, she was a woman. She had no voting rights. She had no voting privileges. With her husband being gone, she really didn't have any way of making money. So they were the poorest. They were the ones who were marginalized. They were the ones on the outside. So if you have an unjust judge and you have a poor widow, what shot do you think she has at getting justice against this person that she's bringing the suit against? And the answer is not much at all. But I want you to hear this, because sometimes people feel less than. People feel marginalized. And sometimes, intentionally or unintentionally, we have marginalized other people because they're not like us. Or unfortunately, in this nation, this day, this time, people are motivated more by money than anything else. And what can they do for me? Sometimes you're friends with certain people because it's like, well, I don't really like them, but they're powerful, they're influential, I can get something out of them. And yet, so here's this unjust judge and a widow, and he's thinking to himself, why would I even hear her case? She can do nothing for me. But God cares, remember, about the widow, about the poor, about the orphan, about the children, those who are powerless, those who are marginalized. If God cares about these people, how much should we care about them? All right, so anybody remember what holiday was this past week? Martin Luther King Jr. And he was one who was seeking justice. And I'm so grateful that we have honored him in this way. Sometimes for people, it's just a way to get off of work or not have to do something or something else. But then there was actually people who really celebrated his birthday. And I will tell you that he was martyred. He was killed. He was assassinated. He was murdered in 1968. And yet, it's amazing to me because I was living in 1968. I remember some things from the 1960s. And you think about it this day and age, and yet it's hard to believe that racism and injustice are still alive and well today. And yet I do believe, because of the efforts of Martin Luther King Jr., we have turned a corner in a sense, and and at least emotionally trying to be aware of and have a sensitivity towards people who are marginalized, people who are of different race or color or creed, anybody that's different than us. We may not agree with them, and yet God says, are they not my people? And I want to take just a moment of privilege to read a letter. It's a portion of the letter, and I've looked at it all week long, and I can't make this any shorter, because when I read it, it just cut me to the heart to think that this is the kind of nation that we lived in, and in some ways, we still live in, where people are judging other people simply by the color of their skin. This is entitled A Letter from a Birmingham Jail. Martin Luther King Jr. had gone to Birmingham to participate in a nonviolent march. Many of you don't know this. He was actually a pacifist, and he was about using words and about presence, but he always taught his people to be kind and to be loving and to never return anger with anger, but with love and with peace. And yet he was jailed for causing a stir, an uprising. And while he was in jail, someone wrote an article in the paper about him and about how he went about it all wrong and about how he was causing trouble. And so this was his answer back to the newspaper, and I'm actually shocked and amazed thinking about back in that day that they would actually print it. But here's what he wrote. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have never engaged in a direct action movement that was well-timed according to the timetable of those who have not suffered unduly for the disease of segregation. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with a piercing familiarity. We must come to see with the distinguished jurist of yesterday that justice too long delayed is justice denied. We have waited for more than 340 years for our God-given and constitutional rights. But when you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will, drown your sisters and brothers at whim. When you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, brutalize, and even kill your black brothers and sisters with impunity. When you see the vast majority of your 20 million Negro brothers smothering in airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, when you suddenly find your tongue twisted and your speech stammering as you seek to explain to your six-year-old daughter why she cannot go to a public amusement park that has just been advertised on television, and see the tears welling up in her little eyes when she is told that Funtown is closed to colored children, and seeing the depressing clouds of inferiority begin to form in her little mental sky, and to see her begin to distort her little personality by the unconsciously developing a bitterness toward white people. When you have to concoct an answer for a five-year-old son asking in agonizing pathos, Daddy, why do white people treat colored people so mean? When you take a cross-country drive and find it necessary to sleep night after night in the uncomfortable corners of your automobile because no motel will accept you. When you are humiliated day in and day out by the nagging signs reading white and colored. And when your first name becomes nigger and your middle name becomes boy, however old you are, and your last name becomes John. And when your wife and mother are never given the respected title of Mrs., when you are harried by day and haunted by night by the fact that you are a Negro, living constantly at tiptoe stance, never knowing what to expect next, and plagued with the inner fears and the outer resentments, when you are forever fighting a degenerating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over and men are no longer willing to be plunged into the abyss of injustice, where they experience the bleakness of corroding despair. I hope, sirs, you can understand the legitimate and unavoidable impatience. Whew. It's really just a few years ago. And yet to think that anybody, race, color, creed, would be put down as a whole just be simply because of the color of their skin. But because of the persistence of people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we are closer to bringing justice. We are sensitive to the widow, the poor, the orphan, the oppressed, the foreigner. God tells us to care about the foreigner, because to remember that we once were foreigners as well. He's talking about the Israelites, but being kind to all people. God cares about all people. All people are persons of sacred worth. And so we need to be the people who follow after God's lead and care and bring justice for those, especially those who have no power or can do nothing for us, but simply because it's right for us to be able to lift them up and to fight for their rights. Amen. Number two is persistence in prayer. Now, there's good persistence. If you gave that New Year's resolution, you're going to get to the gym, you're going to start exercising, and you persist with that. Even when you don't want to, and you force yourself, and you do the things that are right, that's a good persistence. A bad persistence if you're dating somebody and they don't want to date you anymore and you keep after them, okay? That's called stalking, okay? Don't want to do that. But in the law of physics, we talk about energy, light, water. They all flow in the path of least resistance. And we as a human race, we also like to take the path of least resistance. We don't like anything that's difficult or anything that's hard. Or if we come up against something, we look for another way to go around it. And yet sometimes we need to be persistent and not just give up. Jesus told you at the very beginning of this that the whole point of this parable, and I will say that, you're not really supposed to dissect parables, but really take a look at what it really means. And he says it's really about persistence in prayer. Now, many of us have prayed about things in the past. And when we don't get an answer, we just simply say, okay, well, God wasn't home when I lifted up that prayer. He's not paying attention. He's, you know, it says it's in his inbox, you know, whatever. But then we get tired of praying about it, and we think it's no value, no good, and we stop praying. And listen to this, what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says. Nothing tells as much about us as our prayer life. And so the question for you this evening is, how's your prayer life? How are you doing in bringing the things to God? And how are you doing in communicating with God? And if God doesn't answer your question right away, or answer in the way, I do love that Billy Graham's wife said that if he'd answered my prayers, I would have married the wrong man three times over. Sometimes God says no, and we may not understand it at the time, but there's a purpose and a reason. But we give up praying because we just think it's falling on deaf ears. Billy Graham says, heaven is full of answers that no one has bothered to ask. And so we are called, invited, and this really comes to the heart of it, as Jesus said, will I find faith like this when he returns? So remember, these are the words of Jesus. Remember that he is coming back. And he's looking for those who are going to be faithful and being persistent. And so number three is that our faith in the character of God. So God cares about the faithfulness and our belief in the character of God. So this is where the question, the rubber really meets the road here. And the question is whether you really believe in the power of prayer or not. Do you really believe that God will do what he says he will do? Jesus is using a secular example to make a spiritual point. But I wanted to leave you with this thought, and it came from Abraham Lincoln so many years ago. And I want you to think about this. He says, "I've been driven to my knees many times by the overwhelming conviction that I had no place else to go. My own wisdom and that of those about me seemed to be insufficient for the day." And so he's just acknowledging. And I want to tell you that I have lots of advisors around me, and I have a leadership team, and I'm meeting with them regularly and frequently, and sometimes this is something that I need to hear. It's not that I shouldn't meet with them. It's not that I shouldn't seek, but I also believe that God works in and through other people. But sometimes we tend to seek what other people's opinions are rather than seeking what God has to say about it, and to be persistent in that. And so I think those are things that really work together. And so I want us to remember as we think about this passage and as we close this evening that God does really care. He's really there. He really cares. He cares about justice. He cares about the widow, the poor, the orphan, the downtrodden, the outsider, the one who feels less than. God cares about all people. And so we as Christians should care about all people too. And like Martin Luther King Jr., we should fight for equality and for rights and for justice for all. We should be persistent in our prayer. Many of us need to go back and say, yeah, that's right. That's why I'm here tonight. I needed to hear this message because I need to connect with my Heavenly Father who has invited me to connect with Him. I want to have the power of heaven unleashed in my life, and so I need to become diligent about my prayer life. The Apostle Paul says to pray without ceasing. If you're driving, keep your eyes open, right? You know, but all through the day. It's not just on Sunday. It's not just Saturday evening, and it's all the way through the week, starting the morning with prayer, ending the evening with prayer, praying throughout the day, lifting people up, but being persistent. And then having our faith in the character of God. He has created the world. He does love us. He cares about you. He cares about me. Jesus tells us He knows the very hairs on our head. He knows every sparrow that falls. So He knows every thought. He knows everything about us. And He cares about us. And so we need to put our faith and our trust in Him. Even when things aren't going right. Even when we're up against opposition. Even when we're up, especially when we feel like we're up against something that's just bigger than us and we don't know the way about it, then what we need to do is turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer and know that He will bring about justice and peace and answers in His time.